From Alaska Public Media, this is State of Art. Welcome to State of Art, your weekly dose of Anchorage arts and culture. I'm Ammon Swenson. Anchorage Community Theater's production of Arsenic and Old Lace opens this weekend. I'm joined by director Mary Alice Larmy to find out more about the dark comedy classic.
Yeah, I'm Alaska born and raised. I started doing theater in middle school, I think, through what was then TFYP, Theater for Young People, and is now TBA Alaska. And went to West High School, which was kind of the performing arts high school when I was going to school. Went out of state for a couple of years, came back, and have just been making theater ever since.
Well, you know, I guess, how would you describe Arsenic and Old Lace? Just kind of, without getting into too much detail, but maybe kind of more broad strokes, how would you describe the play for people who aren't familiar?
Sure. So it's your typical window closes, another door opens farce. It's all about timing, and it's totally a family-friendly show. I wouldn't bring anybody under 10 to it just because it's a really long, about 2.5 hours, but it's hijinks and silliness and a little bit of murder.
So it's fun, but there is some dark elements to it.
Yeah, it gets a little tense a couple of times, but it's always broken pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's your relationship to Arsenic and Old Lace? Did you maybe see like a production back in the day or the movie that from like the 40s with Cary Grant?
Yeah. So it has a history in Anchorage. So it's been performed several times over the decades because of that history. So I remember seeing it in high school when Dave Block directed it at West. I think that was like 2009, maybe 2010. And of course, I've seen the Cary Grant movie and loved it, particularly not, you know, it's an 80-year-old play, but this the end with Mortimer saying, I'm the son of a sea cook, because my dad's side of the family is kind of like the Brewsters in some ways, a little less murder, but kind of like that. And he's also adopted by his dad. So when that happened, it was just very, it seemed like home to me.
Less poison.
Yeah, a little less poison. Just a smidge.
But you did mention that this is kind of commemorating, a previous production. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. So Frank Brink, who was the father of Anchorage Community Theater, was putting on a production of Arsenic and Old Lace in 1957. And he reached out to Boris Karloff, who originated the role of Jonathan on Broadway, and said, hey, you want to come up to Alaska and do this show with us? And he was decided to bring his wife up, and he ran the entire production with ACT and donated all of his proceeds from the show back into the theater. Said it was one of his favorite theatrical experiences.
So. That's so cool.
Yeah, so every couple of decades, somebody puts it back on, and there's always the Karloff did this up here. And it was at West High School's auditorium, too. So
what do you think makes it such like a lasting piece of theater? Like, what gives it that longevity? Because I was reading it got written in like 39.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's set in September of 1941. And there's a lot of like talking about, you know, the war and everything. And that's right before Pearl Harbor. So it's kind of interesting when you put it in that context. But gosh, it's just a show about a family, a weird family, and everybody has like a crazy family member. That's just they've got that one uncle. It just happens that this family is made up of that one uncle, and then the one sane person. It's the hijinks make it like the fact that it's not one of the farces. A lot of farces kind of delve into the more like sexual side of things, or they're really violent. And this like there's a little bit of slapstick to it, but it's not. There's nothing grotesque, and there's nothing like there's some innuendo, but it's very family friendly innuendo.
Tasteful.
So, yeah, it makes it enjoyable for the family, and one of those that you can pass along to your kids really easily. So
totally. I think just from like personal experience, this probably I had a lot of like minimal exposure to theater, siblings, stuff like that, going to a decent amount of productions and stuff. But this one definitely stuck with me as a kid as being one of the less boring ones, I should say.
Like, yeah.
Maybe.
There's no time for you to like just sit there. Like there's a break every like three pages or so where you can be like, okay, I can breathe now. But it's joke on joke, pratfall on pratfall sort of thing. So
yeah. So what's like as director, and you know, you were telling me before this, you were like painting floor sets. But what's your favorite aspect of putting this on? Whether it's just you know, yeah, getting down and finishing touches on the set, or you know, dealing with the actors and actresses.
I really love the process. I think my favorite part is once everybody's been cast and there's a little bit of I sort of know you from seeing you in shows or I've done a show with you and you kind of get to all sit down together and start to build that ensemble. And going through the table work, like figuring out who the characters are, figuring out what the beats of the scenes are. It's the like super nerdy, deep cut theater stuff, but it's so enjoyable to me, just breaking apart the story and figuring out what's important. And then it's, you know, 6 weeks later, you're stressing about like, oh my God, we're not quite there yet. And then suddenly you are there, you're ready to go. And that's like a magical moment of, oh my gosh, I can almost cry because you guys actually landed this beat perfectly and the pacing is perfect and we're ready.
Yeah, so. I mean, how important is it for a play like this, like something that's moving so quickly, to dissect all those little bits and stuff?
I don't think you can do it properly without it. Because it is so tied up in pacing, you have to have the characters down beforehand so that you have the reactions in the right bit. Like, you have to have the right reaction at the right time. And if you don't have the groundwork already like in place, it makes it impossible to do.
Yeah, like a joke if it's missed time could just not be a joke at
all. Right. And because the jokes sometimes depend on the character. Like if the character doesn't feel this way, then it's not actually a joke. It's just straight line. And it's like, so figuring out the character's feelings about everything is so important.
Well, that leads me to, I mean, tell me about the cast. Do you want to maybe break down who some of the folks are that you've been working with?
Yeah, so our aunties, Martha and Abby, are Lucy McCabe Connors and then Denise Bishop Cotton. And I've worked with both of them before, was so excited to have them audition. And the way that they played off of each other in the audition was just fantastic. And they've brought a lot of life to the characters.
How important was casting the aunties?
Oh, gosh. They are central to the play. They have to be the right balance of clueless and sweet and kind, and also you can believe that they're murdering all these old men,
capable of killing
them. Right? Yeah. And they have to. They're not doing it out of malice. It's all based on this like sense of, oh, they're angels of death. You know, they're doing it because they're lonely old men. So they have to be able to play murderous and sweet at the same time. So it was key to the show.
And then, yeah, then there's the series of brothers.
Yes. So you have the three brothers, Mortimer, Jonathan, and Teddy. Mortimer being the sane one, Jonathan being the homicidal one who looks like Boris Karloff, played by Boris Karloff originally. And then you have Teddy, who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt. So Teddy probably has the least plot-heavy part of the play. He's mostly jokes, but, like, without him, the play doesn't work because he's the one who's digging the locks, et cetera. But you have to have an actor who is okay with having a medium small part and also will commit fully to the bit. And I found that 100% in Stefan Morin, who is one of my dear friends. And I was like, oh man, where am I going to put him in the show? I don't know. And then he showed up for the audition and just was goofy and silly and was willing to play him like a toddler almost, and that was great. And then, you know, you just pick the biggest guy with the deepest voice for Jonathan, and that's what I got. And Josh, who is also just willing to be silly. That was, I think, the biggest thing was one of the exercises that I had everybody do in the audition was this like little bit of clown where you have to see like an object on the floor, desire it, and then like try to take it away, and somebody stops you, and then you have to react to that. And everybody who's in the cast was somebody who did something bizarre with that. Like if they weren't willing to kind of go outside of the norm and like make themselves look stupid, then they couldn't be in the show.
I guess we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but I guess maybe for people who just have no idea about it, you know, what's just something you'd want people to know before going in? Maybe to entice them in, I guess.
It's a show that's set, you know, in the 40s, and you're definitely going to get that flavor of the 40s. It's not updated by any means, and it's still got a lot of visceral connection to, like, what we have to deal with in our families every day. I don't know that there's some big meaning to this show aside from let's laugh, but really, at the core, it is a show about a family that, like, loves each other through really bizarre circumstances.
Yeah, and I mean, is it nice to do shows every now and then that aren't just like, here's this big, deep meaning that you're getting behind it, rather than maybe let's just enjoy ourselves for a couple hours?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is so much importance to the drama and, like, sitting in there and, like, talking about it and, like, talking about issues and making people feel and think and do all the things. But we also need time to, like, sit back and heal. And I think laughter, we all know laughter is the best medicine. And being able to just enjoy yourself for a couple hours and not have to think about all the bad things going on in the world, of which there are too many, is really, really important.
Awesome. Well, anything else you'd want to add about the production or anything like that?
Just how grateful I am to get to do this. And for the people that have helped make that happen. All my designers have put in so much work and long nights. And yeah, I'm super grateful.
That was Mary Alice Larmy. Anchorage Community Theater's production of Arsenic and Old Lace runs Thursdays through Sunday through October 1st. And that's all the time we have for you today. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
State of Art is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Theme music is Spring Breakup by Termination Dust. Get in touch with the host by sending an email to soa@alaskapublic.org.